Blog Talk Radio.
You'll only be hearing the garage sounds for just a few more weeks. Yeah, think about that one for a moment, folks. Hey, good morning, all. Welcome into another Frat House Sports' Race Trim Motorsports Hour. Frat House Mike coming to you here from the Frat House Sports Garage. And as I pointed out, just six more of these races remaining this season. That's it now. We're marking the halfway point now today at Kansas Speedway. We're marking the halfway point of the chase as we will be heading into chase race number five. And so just six more Sundays, five more weeks remaining until, well, we and they get a little break, I guess. And really, it's a little one. It's really not that long. Probably the shortest off season for any sport out there. But we'll be sitting around here for the next 90 minutes or so. We're going to chit-chat about today's race. We're going to talk a lot about last week's chase race number four. We entered the second segment of the chase there at Charlotte. And boy, oh boy, do we walk away with egg on our face. I mean, we sat here last Friday night sitting here saying, well, who's most likely to get bounced out of here? And, well, I think most of us said, I don't know, that Jimmy Johnson, I think it's very possible he could get bounced out of here by after a week, after chase race number six, after the second segment. Well, he made us look foolish as he won the race last week. Gotta wonder whether, in fact, Hendrick Motorsports is back up and running now. I mean, can we expect to see a push? I mean, we certainly know he's going to make it right through, what would it be, chase race number nine. We know that now at this point. So, anyhow, we'll talk about that. Interesting, Jimmy Johnson wasn't just in the news this past week because of his win. He, he also had some comments, very, very interesting ones. And I am looking forward to getting the opinions of my two mechanics here on his comments regarding the relationship with Stuart Haas Racing. Interesting comments, because, in fact, Johnson no sooner makes the comments and officials there at Hendrick are kind of backing away from the comments that he made. So very, very interesting stuff. We'll take a look at that. We'll take a look at the chase leaderboard, because, listen, if there's a guy, in my opinion, today that's got the pressure on him, well, that would be Kevin Harvick, who ended up in a little bit of a mess last week at around, I think it was around lap 124. Yeah, I think he finished like 36th, maybe, something to that effect. Anyhow, not a good performance, and well, that now right now puts him 12th. Yeah, dead last in the chase leaderboard. So it would seem to me that he's got a little bit of pressure on him today. Who else has got some pressure on him today? We'll talk about that one. Boy, oh boy, the penalties and the warnings just keep flying from NASCAR. And I got to ask one more time, is it just getting a little bit ridiculous? Got a couple of new things coming our way and a couple that aren't. Hello, Newman. A couple that aren't so new coming up for 2017. We'll touch on those and we'll also take a look at what we can expect here today at Kansas. All of that, and well, hey, if any of you want to jump in with us, hey, don't hesitate, please. 347-826 347-927-9964 is how you can get a hold of us here in the Frat House Sports Garage. 347-826-9964. Otherwise, leave us a message in our Blog Talk Radio chat room, or you can hit me up on Twitter at Frat House Mike. I believe I have both of my mechanics here on time and ready to rock and roll here this morning. Sidekick and Brandon, I believe. Yes? Got you both, I think?
Yeah, I am here. Sidekick okay. Looks like he's still on mute for some reason.
Sorry. I think
there we go.
Not surprised.
I was not in. Well, no. This time I was not on my own mute. I was actually on looking, doing something else, and assumed that I was off mute. Off the Blog Talk Radio mute.
Oh, well, we got it all under control.
I'm only halfway through my fill up of Sunoco racing fuel, so.
I got you. Yeah, I got you. All right. Let's take a look at this, because here we said, it was a week ago, Friday night, actually, last week. Race last week got delayed. It was supposed to be run on Saturday night. Of course, we had all that residue kicking around from Hurricane Matthew. So got delayed to Sunday, which is kind of during football season, it makes it more and more tedious to try to keep track of everything. So I was really kind of hoping they were going to be
able
to. Yeah, I know you don't. I was kind of hoping they were going to be able to pull that one off on Saturday night, but as it turns out, they did not.
Oh no, there was no way they were pulling that off Saturday.
Well, you know,
I saw the writing on the wall. Was it Monday or Tuesday? I posted
in our
Facebook group. I'm like, I showed the radar. I think I posted the radar picture, and I'm like, yeah, I don't think we're going Saturday. I wasn't quite sure if we were going to go Sunday, honestly.
You know, and the interesting thing, Sidekick, was that on Monday when you posted that up, they still had projected that hurricane to come straight up the coast, it eventually changed completely. It was very weird the way that hurricane actually made its travel, because it kind of hooked. It hooked and kind of almost went backward. It was a very strange path that it took, but it could have been a lot worse, for sure.
You had Matthew, and then right behind Matthew, you had Nicole. You know, and being the typical woman, she was telling Matthew where to go, and he, you know, did an about face, practically. You know, he was going to go up the coast and, you know, off into the sunset, and she was like, no, you're not doing that. You're going back to Florida. So he looped back around.
Oh, my gosh.
The Sunoco fuel's kind of I'm sputtering a little bit.
I think it's starting to kick in. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah,
I can see that.
Just a little sputtering going on here. So, I might need shake the car a little bit to get to the end here.
Yeah, you should be my best guesstimate would be you should probably be ready to rock and roll in about 30 minutes.
Might
be a little
sooner,
huh?
Yeah, it's starting to pick up now. Might be about 5 minutes, and then gloves are off.
The sound drops will be dropping. This got postponed, for Kevin Harvick, I would imagine he would have preferred it had gone off at its regular time. But we'll talk about Kevin Harvick here shortly. Anyhow, last Friday night, Brandon, you and I are sitting here, and we're kind of playing, typical sports talk radio. We were just kind of playing games, who might be likely to get, kicked out of here by the end of the second segment. And I had listed it up as Carl Edwards, Austin Dillon, Jimmy Johnson, Joey Logano, and Brandon, you had said Kevin Kenseth. Actually, you didn't have. I'm looking at the list here. You didn't have Johnson in the list on your list, did you? I'm looking at it. Kenseth, Logano, Kurt Busch, and you had Hamlin or Edwards.
Right. No, I did so not have Johnson. Now that you say that, I thought I did, but he was definitely among the ones I was considering. I know that.
I know that a couple of us, I'm trying to think here, Christian said Johnson. I forget if Liz did or not. Speaking of Liz, Brandon, you might want to make sure that chat room's open.
It is. She's in there.
Okay.
Listen.
Okay, very good. Nice to have you, Liz. He comes out and he leads 155 laps and wins the race. So no problem for Jimmy Johnson. He can kick back now right through chase race number 6, and he doesn't have to worry about it until Halloween. Halloween, he starts worrying all over again. There you go. No problem.
Yeah, which, you know, is interesting. This is the first time he's gotten to that round since the chase has been implemented.
Is that right? Wow.
Yes.
I hadn't even thought
of
that.
See, and that's,
one.
You know, to go back, because unfortunately I had to miss the show last Friday due to this thing I call, you know, day job. The bastards. Anyway, but, you know, going into that race, you know, Kevin Harvick has never failed to advance. Jimmy Johnson has never advanced. So going into that race, you're thinking, all right, well, we're going to see, you know, we're going to see Kevin Harvick, and we're going to, you know, and, you know, Jimmy Johnson, unfortunately, is, you know, is going to be in trouble come Talladega. And surprise, surprise, aren't the roles reversed here? You know, Jimmy Johnson's got his, you know, got his win, went through, and now we're sitting here. Kevin Harvick, you got Kansas, and then you got the crapshoot that is Talladega.
Yep.
You know, yep. And Charlotte was not good to was only good to a few of our chasers.
Yeah,
there was a lot of chasers having all sorts of issues last week at Charlotte. It was not, you know, a good start to this round for many people.
Yeah, and that was evident when I put together the when I was putting together the numbers for our own fantasy league, and then also when I put together the cumulative numbers for our Eat My Dust picks, which Psychic, I think you ended up with like 4 points for Eat My Dust total. You know, and the fantasy numbers were just completely whacked. You know, one more week here where not a single chase team has won a chase race. So we're going on 4 races here now in our fantasy league, where we don't have a single chase team that has won a race yet. The numbers were just completely whacked.
In fantasy, I'm not surprised. You know what I mean? Because of the way, you know, you pick fantasy and you have 5 teams, you know, you pick your 5 drivers and stuff like that. It doesn't surprise me that we haven't had a chaser win versus, you know, regular, the actual NASCAR where, you know, it's quite the opposite. You know, we've seen pretty much only chasers win, I believe.
We haven't had a non-chaser win yet in a chase race this season. Not this season, anyhow.
So Newman was close. For a while there, thinking, is Newman actually going to get a win? What the hell?
Hello, Newman.
He actually came in fourth. I know, and he was getting pretty close there at one point. I'll write it down here. Jimmy Johnson, of course, got the checkered. Matt Kenseth, second. Casey Kane, third. Ryan Newman, fourth. Kyle Larson, fifth. Kyle Busch came in sixth. Brad Keselowski, 7. Kurt Busch, 8. Tony Stewart, 9. Jamie McMurray, 10. Danica Patrick came in 11th. You know, looking where things get weird. You know,
Danica Patrick in 11th isn't weird.
Y'all good. Landon Castle came in 19th. Brian Scott came in 22nd. You know, folks that were down at the bottom, Kevin Harvick, 38th, Joey Logano, 36th, Chase Elliott, 33, Austin Dillon, 32, Denny Hamlin, 30th. So, right, you know, as psychic as you pointed out, look at that group all at the bottom of the list. You know, it really mixed things up. It sure did. I mean, it makes it fun, obviously. I mean, that's what I love about this. That's what I love about the format. I think the format is compelling, particularly when you get races like this one. And, you know, as you're pointing out, we could see something very, very similar next week just because of the fact it's Talladega.
Talladega, you always got to watch for the big ones. So, you know, all bets are off in that kind of deal.
Mhm. Yeah. All right. Well, what else jumped out at you off of this race? Anything else, guys? I mean, aside from the fact that we got Johnson in there and right up until
you know what was kind of weird to me in the early part of the race, the tire issues from last week.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of, because you know it
you know
happened predominantly the first you know first I guess third of the race, and then it kind of cleared up. I think you had a couple, but you know there was like you know every time you turn around you were hearing about people were losing their tires. Yeah, I forget the term now. We learned a new tire term last week. Adhesive compound, was that it? Because the you know some of the tires were coming off where you know the actual layers of the tires had started coming back because the adhesive material between the layers actually started letting loose where it wasn't holding the tire together. That was kind of a new term.
Could it have been that we had a green track?
Well, you know, actually, what happened was when they interviewed the Goodyear engineer, he without really blaming the teams, said that the teams were checking the tire pressures. And then mysteriously, we stopped seeing people having tire issues.
Oh, okay.
So I think they were letting too much air out of the tires, and it was compromising the sidewalls. And that's what was causing that issue. Because, like
they wouldn't do that. Come on.
Well, exactly. That's why I'm saying, you know, they made a thing where, okay, all the teams are going back and checking their tire pressures. And then mysteriously, the tire problem went away.
You know, I'm trying to remember because, you know, I'm looking at the calendar here. Kansas, we were at Kansas on May 7th.
Mm-hmm.
We had a lot of tire issues in the beginning of the season. Of course, I think a lot of that was attributed to, you know, I think ultimately they attributed a lot of that to lug nut issues. But there were a couple of tracks, if you recall, early on, but it might have been getting resolved by the time we got to Kansas. But there were a couple of tracks early on in the season where it seemed like guys were losing tires left and right. I don't know if it was completely resolved by the time we got to Kansas or not. Maybe it was. So maybe I'm just, but I don't know if you recall that, guys, or not. But a lot of tire issues.
I think the newer technology, these Goodyear tires, requires them to have a certain amount of the rubber into the track before they start to work good. And I think if the cup cars being as big and heavy and as fast as they are, you know, they probably require it more so than even the Xfinity cars that are running, you know, 300-400 horsepower less. So to get the traction on the, you know, with the cup car, they probably need to have a fair amount of that rubber laid down. I think that does cause an issue with these tires, especially since they've kind of, I don't know if you can say modernize them, but they have they have changed him a lot over the last several years. And, you know, I think that's part of what we're seeing now.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right. So
I think when there's – my point is when you get to the point where the cars aren't – you know, they're running on a green track and they're going right away. In other words, you got all the cars on the track at once running with, you know, a fresh track like that. It takes a while for that to come in. And that's probably part of why you saw, you know, in the beginning and not the end.
And as we pointed out, with all that rain last weekend that essentially washed out Saturday completely, you know, obviously
right.
It took a little while. As we've seen so many times with so many different tracks, it took a little while, you know, to get that rubber laid down, as you're talking about, Brandon. So,
yeah.
Yeah, all right. So, I guess we'll keep track of it today. See if we continue to. You know, probably not. We're gonna get. We've got real nice weather here today. So, got to get your comment on this, guys. Johnson, Jimmy Johnson, obviously won the race, and you know, good for him. Keeps him going through the chase, and as I pointed out, we'll see him right through to the next segment. Also in the news, however, had a few comments this week in advance of Kansas. Don't know how these comments came up or what caused it all. Let's see if I can find the exact. Gosh darn it! I want to find the exact because I've got like five different places that I've got the comments here. Five different. I just wanted to get. Want to get the exact spot that I wanted to bring up here. Jeez, why can't I find this? Oh, this is annoying. Basically, it comes down to this. He was asked about the relationship between Hendrick Motorsports and Stuart Haas Racing. Johnson said that Hendrick did not have access to SHR, Stuart Haas Racing, data while his teams were providing the team to the team of 2014 series champion Kevin Harvick. Kurt Busch, Tony Stewart, and Danica Patrick, they had an agreement to swap data. However, Stuart Haas was not forthcoming and was not reciprocating. Apparently, there was a bit of an edge to here's his exact comment. Just to be selfishly speaking on Hendrick Motorsports, the Stuart Haas relationship, we didn't get their data. We didn't share their data. They had ours. So it was a fantastic situation for them. They had our best stuff. And then they have a huge engineering staff and they can take Hendrick's best equipment and refine it and make it better. At one point, he actually said that their relationship was not two-way. It was one way only. That is, that it was all in favor of Stuart Haas. A Hendrick spokesman came out and kind of backed away from Johnson's comments, saying, hey, bottom line is this. We provided Stuart Haas with the engines that they requested. That's the bottom line. Well, whatever the specs were, that's what we gave them. Nothing more, nothing less. So, you know, kind of trying to back away from Johnson's comments. You know, I was looking at this and I kind of thought about it. I thought, you know, when it comes right down to it, both haven't run terribly, as we pointed out, haven't run terribly, terribly well this year. So, the fact that there perhaps maybe was, you know, in Stuart Haas's case, even if they weren't necessarily sharing data, it didn't help them any. It doesn't seem to me. I mean, as we pointed out, really, there's only one driver over there that's done really better than most, and that's been Kevin Harvick. But it didn't necessarily give them an advantage. But it's an interesting thing. I mean, are we seeing, is this part of, you know, is this a little bit of a, I don't know, sour grapes or something? Because, well, Stuart Haas is moving away from Chevys. Is that, could that be what prompted this kind of, you know, little comment here from Jimmy Johnson? Well, I mean, overall, what are your thoughts on it? Because I found the whole thing rather interesting.
Without a doubt. There was kind of comments made at the beginning of the season when Stuart Haas made their switch to Ford, you know, and Hendrick Motorsports came out and said, well, we're going to honor our commitments, blah, blah, blah. But you could tell there was a tone to the comments that said, you know, well, we're going to keep you guys at an arm's length. And I think that's what – I think both sides did the same thing. I think both sides limited – what they made available. And I don't know what Jimmy Johnson's talking about. I don't know, you know, if he knows something that somebody else at Hendrick doesn't know or whatever, but you know, it is what it is. You got to move on. You know, the die is cast from the minute Stuart Haas was signed with Ford that they were no longer going to be, you know, buddy, buddy with Hendrick. So, you know, get over the season, move on, and go. That's all they can do, you know?
If the comments, though, at the beginning of the season were basically from Hendrick saying, well, you know, that's fine. You guys do what you want. We're going to honor our commitment, et cetera. And, you know, we'll take care of you through this year. And after that, you know, it is what it is. Why then would Johnson almost be coming out almost resentfully now? You know what I mean? That's what's kind of weird about it. Almost as if there's a little bit of a chip on his shoulder about the whole thing. And yet, like I said, you can't necessarily point to Stuart Haas and say, well, hey, these guys did so much better than you guys did. And obviously it was because they weren't, you know, sharing information with you. I mean, you know what I mean? It just kind of came off like interesting, but like a little bit, it was almost misplaced, like misplaced annoyance or something. I didn't get it. Anyhow, Sidekick, any thoughts on it?
Well, I think it's just Jimmy Johnson being a little bitch, personally.
Oh.
<Yeah.
laughs> Oh,
well, that pretty that much was... says it right there.
Yeah,
okay,
there you go. That's
well, I mean, let's look at it. You know, how many wins does Hendrick Motorsports have so far this season? They've got three. All three of them been Jimmy Johnson. You know, he had two before the chase, and he got his win, you know, his win last week. So, sure, they're used to being the top dogs. They're used to winning races, you know. And then, you know, you look at Stuart Haas. Stuart Haas probably has almost double to three times the wins that Hendrick has. You know, because, you know, Stuart had one. Bush had one or two. Harvick had, you know, two or three, I think. And, well, Danica's never going to win anything. You know. And to even try and throw her under the bus, but you know, Hendrick, you know, let's be honest. When Kevin Harvick is pointing fingers, when Jimmy Johnson's pointing fingers at Stuart Haas, he's pointing fingers at Kevin Harvick. He's not pointing fingers at Tony, other than Tony as an owner, but Tony as a driver, he's calling out Stuart Haas so he doesn't get in trouble for calling out Harvick. But let's be honest. He's calling out Harvick. And I think one of his comments, he does specifically mention Rodney Childers and Kevin Harvick. You know, but, you know, if you're talking about, you know, who's a threat to taking away wins from, you know, another Chevy team threatening to take wins away from Hendricks, it's going to be Kevin Harvick.
Mm-hmm.
You know right. what I mean? So, you know, and I think that's where he's getting a little butthurt is that, you know, they were probably, you know, I don't know how long this has been going on. That's one thing Jimmy didn't allude to. Is this just this season, or has this been going all along? You know, because he said, you know, looking through his comments, he mentioned that the relationship started changing when Kevin Harvick came over. When Stuart Haas was just a, you know, it was just Tony and Newman. The relationship was working the way it was supposed to be.
Huh.
And then once they expanded to four teams, the relationship started evolving.
Well, what's that? Been three seasons now? We're in our third season with Harvick over here.
2014.
14, 15, 16. Yeah, we're in our third season. That's what I thought.
So, and, but, you know, also that may lead into their why they switched over to Ford. You know, because there's always three sides to a story. The truth, and then the other two people's side. You know, somewhere in the middle lies the truth, right? And so Stuart Haas may have been trying to get to be more independent. You know, when they were just, you know, when they were starting out as a two-car team, they probably needed to rely on Hendrick. As you know, probably any team really starting out. And not that, you know, not that Stuart Haas was really starting out there. It always, you know, it was, you know, it was Haas Automation before that. But, you know, once Tony came in, they kind of reinvented that team. You know what I mean? And kind of rebuilt it. So that's why I say it's a, I call it a new team. You know, and then obviously, you know, so they had the two cars, they go to the four cars, you know, and they're trying to, you know, they're trying to gain their independence. They're trying to stand alone, you know, team, you know, they want to do their own engineering. They want to do stuff. So probably as they're going through that process, probably they did. They probably stopped, you know, as trying to grow their independence, probably started pulling back. And, you know, and initially, you know, Hendrick may not have been that upset about it. But, you know, now that, you know, all of a sudden Tony this year announces, hey, we're going to Ford next year. All now, all of a sudden, everybody's butthurt over their relationship.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
they feel like
it.
They were betrayed. Well, right. No, you didn't get betrayed. It's business. You know?
Yeah, interesting. I get it a little bit more now at this point anyhow. I mean, you know, it kind of what you're saying makes a lot of sense. I just found it interesting that it was Johnson who's coming out and making the comments. Yeah. So I don't know.
But,
and
know,
like
here,
I said
here's the interesting thing about these manufacturer relationships. And that you don't hear the Toyota guys crying foul that Martin Truex Jr. is taking wins from them.
That's because Toyota probably is maintaining a better control of all the teams. Where
exactly. That's my
Chevrolet.
That was exactly
probably,
my point that I was trying to make. You
yeah.
know, and we've been talking about it now for a few weeks. I think we've touched on it a couple times during the season, but we talked more about it here recently, the relationships between the manufacturers and the teams, where, you know, Chevy and Ford have this model where, you know, you go to the top team and you get your equipment from the top team. And then you make various relations, you know, various, you know, contracts with them, whether you're, you know, sharing data or you're just buying equipment or, you know, whatever, you know, we talked about with Chris Buescher with, you know, his surprise win at Pocono and the fact that, you know, Ford would come in and, you know, start helping them out a little bit more than their actual contract, probably with Roush Yates. You know, Toyota, you know, TRD seems to be running the show, and, you know, with Joe Gibbs being the, you know, the lead partner. But It's ultimately Toyota that's running the relationships and providing the engines. And I think you're going to have to see the other two manufacturers, if they want to regain control,
be that kind of demonstrative. Be kind of demonstrative like that.
I think they're going to have to they're going to have to evolve their relationships. And unfortunately, you know, to kind of knock on Hendricks, you know, if you're Chevy, you have to go through Hendrick for your stuff. So I'm sorry, but it's a win. It's a winning relationship off the jump for Hendrick, because you have to go to Hendrick. Whether or not you're going to reciprocate data, Hendrick is the benefactor of every Chevy relationship.
That's not true, though, because Earnhardt Childress make their own, do their own engines, and they do some for other teams, too.
Oh, do they? So, okay.
Yeah, Childress, they still have an engine program that's dual-named Earnhardt Childress engines. There are ECR engines. They still provide for other teams, just not as many as they used to. So, yeah, there is an option. See, I think that's what Chevy needs to do. They need to rein the motor into one place. You know, all the Fords come from one place. All the Toyotas come from one place. They need to get Chevy on the same page and working together. You know, that all the engines are coming from the same place. So at least the teams can be on equal footing that way. And I think that's the difference. I think Chevy needs to rein that in, and I don't know how they can.
Now, a question, Brandon. When we talk about Ford, obviously, you know, everybody gets, you know, most people go through Roush Yates to get their motors.
Everybody does, even Penske.
So you would
think if anybody was going to be separate, it'd be Penske, because they run far and away above better than Roush Yates, but they're running the same engines.
But you correct me if I'm wrong, you can't confuse Roush Yates engines with Roush Racing. They are two different.
Roush Fenway Racing. Yeah, Roush Yates Racing is a combination of the old Robert Yates Racing. I believe it's Doug Yates was the main engine builder, the son, and Roush. They have that's an engine selling or renting or whatever, NASCAR Sprint Cup engine program, where Roush Fenway Racing, their cars and technology and everything else is what's hurting them from competing with Penske and everybody else. They've come right out and said it a couple times that Roush Yates fell behind in the technology area. They don't have, you know, all the computer equipment, all the stuff that the top teams use for engineering, and that Roush had to spend money and they had to catch up, and they're in the process of doing so. But, you know, once you fall behind, it's harder to catch back up.
Oh, absolutely.
So that's why
That's
why Penske goes out and kicks ass with those engines, and Roush Yates can't get out of their own way. And that's why you didn't see a big improvement for Chris Buescher, because if he'd have got technology improvement, in other words, engineering help from Penske versus Roush, you might have saw a better improvement. But I don't think, you know, I don't think the ability was there.
Right. But what I mean is, you know, even though you know, Roush Yates engines has the Roush name on it.
Yes.
It's not like they're, you know, Roush Fenway isn't providing those engines.
No.
Basically, it's a separate company, not to be confused with.
Yeah,
know,
it's
just
Robert Yates. Robert Yates has a piece of both.
Okay.
Yeah. It originally, see, there was a time when Robert Yates Racing and Roush Yates Racing were two, and Roush Fenway were separate racing teams. Robert Yates Racing does not exist in that form anymore.
Right. That's what I thought.
The only part they do is the engines now.
Right. That's what I thought. They had folded up racing, but they still do the engine manufacturing.
Yeah. The 38 car and I forget what other number they were running at the time. The 38 car, I think it's one of the front row, not furniture row, but front row cars. I think those
F rows
were the remnants of Robert Yates Racing years and years ago. In other words, like that's the lineage of, you know, where Robert Yates Racing went to. I think it became front row and those cars and equipment. And I know at least a 38 number. I don't think there is a 20. Is 28 still on the track? Because that was the other Robert Yates Racing number for years. I don't know if the 28's even out there anymore.
I don't even remember, honestly.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, that's where we got to where we are now. But if Chevy wants to have the same kind of thing, I think they need to consolidate and get them all down to one. But I don't think Childress is willing to do that, because Childress wants. I think deep down inside, Childress would like to be the number one Chevy team, and you know, but I don't think that's ever going to happen at this point. I think Hendrick just got the stranglehold, and that's it. So he's just going to do what he does, and he'll go from there, I guess. I mean, it's not like he makes bad engines. I mean, the Childress cars always run well, especially at the restrictor plate track. They probably have a better restrictor plate engine than Hendrick does, to be quite honest with you. It's just they don't have the cars, you know, they don't have the rest. So, I mean, that three car was on the pole at Daytona and in the early Talladega. And, you know, they've always run well at the restrictor plate track. I mean, even with Harvick, when, you know, after Earnhardt Sr. passed, Harvick used to tear them up too. So, you know, I think Childress is still very competitive from there. And you'll see the Childress cars running well at Talladega in a couple of weeks. So,
FYI, there is no number 28.
No.
The last time the 28 was on the track was in 2009. Travis Caffell ran it four times for Robert Yates Racing.
Yeah, that was the end of it.
Ran it four times in cup races. The widow of Davey Allison, however, has come out and indicated that she actually would like to see the 28 resurrected. So.
Well, there you go.
They
resurrected the three. Why not, right?
Well, that was exactly right.
The 28 never left, though. It left because Yates Racing folded. It didn't leave because Davey died. Ernie Irvin drove the 28 Haviland car for years after Davey Allison passed. So,
well,
you know,
that's interesting because the way that this article makes it sound, it does kind of sound like it was almost kind of like phased out.
I think what happened was Front Row already had a car, so they may have bought the 38 for the points from the equipment from Robert Yates, and the 28 just kind of dwindled on the tree, if you know what I mean. Like, it may not have had enough owner points to be worth selling at the time.
Right, right. Gotcha.
Especially if he only ran four races, you know, if that was the end of it, you know, there probably wasn't enough points to make any value of selling it to somebody else. Because that's usually when the teams change, you know, the numbers, they sell the numbers for the points, you know. Now with the new charter system, that's probably all out the window too.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, that was back then.
That charter thing. Kind of changed the whole dynamic of that sort of thing, didn't it?
Yep. Well, what it was I can tell you real simple. If a new team came in with hope, they would buy the number from the old team just to guarantee them to make the first four races in owner point. That's what it came down to. Because the way it used to be, you ran off the year before's points for the first four. So if you wanted to guarantee yourself a starting spot, you had to buy a team in the top 36 of last year, their number, and use their point. So that's where the advantage had come. Now the charter system, like I said, kind of blows that all out of the water, but that would have been why, say, a Front Row bought the 38 from Robert Yates, but not the 28. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It would have had that value because the 38 still running. So I'm not saying we won't see the 28. There may be a day when somebody decides, hey, let's put a 28 on the track.
Interesting stuff. The history is what I always find fascinating. And what blows me away is how well you've got the history down.
I really loved NASCAR. I mean, that
I'll
be honest
difficulty with you. I have difficulty remembering last year, you know. remember this stuff.
Well, and then, you know, I can't keep furniture row and front row separated, so.
Yeah, really.
back then is when racing, I thought, was, I'm not going to say it's not good today, but you had personalities. I don't know. I think today some of the drivers are too conscious of you know, sponsors and not saying the wrong thing so they don't piss off
corporate.
The sponsor. Right, right, right.
Well,
back then,
that's all coming
you
from
had
NASCAR,
Ernie Irvin.
I think, isn't it?
You
isn't
had
that
Ernie
coming
Irvin.
From NASCAR?
No, I don't know. I don't know. I think a lot of the drivers kind of backed off when they saw, you know, like Kurt Busch. He got out of hand with Jerry Punch, and he lost everything. You know what I mean?
I don't know, Brandon. The way that they throw penalties around in this thing, and the way that they, I mean, you
yeah,
know,
they didn't
he
used to
gags,
do that. That's true.
He gags them the way Roger Goodell does over in the NFL. Seriously.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I think in NASCAR's push to go from being the, you know, the Southern redneck, you know, not to use, you know, to try to stereotype, but, you know, to go from being, you know, a Southern kind of redneck sport to being in the big leagues with the NFL and the NBAs and the NHLs and stuff like that, you know, trying to clean up their image and trying to appeal to the masses and trying to grow the base and do all that stuff, you know, you kind of have to squash some of that, you know, it's, you know, good old boys on the track racing mentality, you know, and we saw that with the whole thing about the, you know, the letting the drive, you know, what was it, last year or the year before? We're going to put
before.
It back in the driver's hands.
Yeah.
We're going to let the drivers be drivers.
Yep.
You know, and if, you know, if they were throwing helmets at each other on the track, so be it. They weren't going to police it kind of thing.
Yep. Boys
you
will
know.
Be boys
but,
was the law.
Yeah. You know, the boys will be boys, you know. But it, you know, you fast forward that to this year, and like Mike alluded to in the show, you know, they're throwing out penalties left and right. So it may, you know, it's not. Let the boys be boys, per se.
You know, in some respects, I understand that we've got to keep the sponsors happy. I understand that because look, the cost to put these teams together, astronomical. So these owners have to be PC conscious, public relations conscious, constantly about because listen, it's the world we live in. We know this. I mean, you know. Kurt Busch a couple of seasons ago goes and gets, you know, incorrectly defamed by some, you know, what's the word I want?
Horlet.
Profit seeking, you know, the only word I can think of is bitch.
Yeah,
he, right. And what happens? What happens? The first thing that happens is his sponsorship is in jeopardy. Right?
Yep.
Despite the fact any of it is true or not, nobody waits to find out whether anything's true anymore. We just rush to judgment. I mean, we see this all the time in all of our sports. Sponsorships being dropped on guys left and right because of the fact that, well, there's an accusation out there. Well, hey, why don't we wait to see whether it's true or not? You know, well, I got that. That's not the world we live in. All right? So I understand where owners come down on it. The last thing you need is also a damn commissioner, pardon the phrase, because he's not, like Brian France, who's also out there, you know, feeding the flame to all this by constantly, now, you know, hey, your comments were detrimental to racing. Oh, come on, get over yourself. I mean, for God's sake. I don't know. That's my comment for today.
It's definitely not what it used to be. The drivers back in the era of Ernie Irvin, even Davey Allison, as we mentioned, Dale Earnhardt, Bill Elliott, Rusty Wallace, the old Darrell Waltrip, not the caricature you see now. They were more demonstrative, and they didn't pull punches. Now, the networks that broadcast the race had to be aware of the bleep button because they wouldn't hold back. You know what I mean? They were, you know, they do – right now, everybody's all, you know, let's all be friends. You know, let's be PC.
You got the Jimmy Johnsons out there. And see, this is what I don't like. Part of what I don't like about Hendrick and why I became a Kyle Busch fan the second he left Hendrick. You know, because look at Kyle Busch. You know, everybody over at Hendrick is very corporate. You see them. You know, you see them outside of the sport, and they're usually in suits and, yell, oh, you know, and they talk real nice, and they usually aren't cursing people. You know, they whine a little bit more, when something doesn't go their way. And we saw it with Kyle Busch. Kyle Busch had, like, zip personality when he was over on Hendrick. You know, because he had to maintain that kind of, corporate good boy image. And as soon as he goes to Joe Gibbs and he's actually able to let his personality out, I think, that's when I became a Kyle Busch fan. Because he was out there, he was driving, you saw him doing these crazy saves and all this other stuff, and you saw Kyle Busch being Kyle Busch. And that's, and I don't know if that's part of it, is, Hendrick brought in this, kind of, okay, we've got to be, very, very corporate about our appearance and things like that, or if it was just a NASCAR thing.
It's as you just said, it's a business. It's corporate. It's sponsor driven. That's what it comes down to. Hey, listen, guys, we're the juggernaut out here. I mean, let's get it straight. Hendrick was the juggernaut for the longest time. Johnson with all of his wins and all the other crew. I mean, Gordon over there, all the guys, right? And they were the juggernaut on the track. So they could get the best sponsors. And we got to keep them happy. And we got to keep the money coming. And that's what we got to do. So let's keep our nose clean, guys. And that's what it came down to. I mean, in some respects, Brady, you're right. It's sad, but at the same time, like I said, it's the world we live in now. Nobody's going to give anybody a chance to.
Well, and with Tony Stewart retiring, it's just going to get worse because guys left who would speak his mind.
Thank you. Thank you. I was just about to say that. You still do get, every once in a while, you get that flash from Tony Stewart where, he is, as you just described, the way some of the older guys were. I mean, it's funny. I don't know if you saw the comments or not this week. And Sidekick, I think, will really appreciate them. Tony Stewart talking about being an owner. He was asked about it, and he says, the fun thing is I've been to a couple of the owners' meetings, and it's pretty cool to sit in the room with Roger Penske, Chip Ganassi, Richard Childress, and Joe Gibbs, and those guys. He also goes on, though, to say that his attendance made the meetings with giants of the auto industry feel like, quote, an episode of Sesame Street. So that when he attended them, he says it feels like an episode of Sesame Street. There's one thing in the room that doesn't belong, and it's not like the others, and they point at me.
It's actually kind of funny.
I won't say I'm a part of that group yet, because I still feel like I'm just a driver right now. It will be interesting to see how somebody like Tony Stewart, with his nature as he has been and his reputation and what have you, how he kind of melds into, as we've just pointed out, this kind of corporate look to NASCAR as we know it, which all comes from the top. That's all coming from the top, from these guys, from Hendrick, from Joe Gibbs, from Childress, Penske. That's where this is coming from. So it's going to be interesting. Is he going to continue to be a little bit of a maverick with this group, or will he kind of just blend in and fall in? Going to be interesting.
Well, maybe that's why they moved to Ford. He was positioning himself to be a power player. He knew he was never going to have that so much as a Chevy guy, because you're always going to have Hendrick and Childress ahead of you. So now maybe that's why. Maybe he feels, okay, Penske's really all you got as far as Ford goes, as far, you know, Ford's concerned. So maybe I can be a power guy if I'm on this board, you know, on board with this. So that might just be the reason for part of the reason for the switch. I don't know. We'll see how he handles it.
Can we expect, however, that you're going to see that? Are you going to start to now see an alliance, a partnership between Stuart Haas and Penske?
Well, it's already been announced. It's already been announced. There is an alliance between Penske and Stuart Haas. It's been announced. Engineering sharing.
Yeah, I understand.
They announced that at the beginning of the year. So, yeah,
right.
I think you're going to see it. I think you'll know how well that engineering deal works right out of the box. If Stuart Haas is good in the first 3-4 races of the year right away, you're going to know that there's a lot of information being shared because it's going to shorten the learning curve for Stuart Haas's engineer team and crew chiefs. So, yeah, we'll know pretty quick on that.
In that case, though, could Stuart actually really ever be able to propel SHR to being a powerhouse, as you just mentioned?
I think so. I think they'll have the ability to go above Penske. Penske, for whatever reason, can't seem to get a third car. You know,
yeah.
And Stuart Haas already has four. I'm not going to take anything away from Brad or Joey, but I think the combination of Kevin and Kurt Busch is a little more stronger than Joey and Brad. I mean, Brad has a championship, but I mean, I think if you look, you know, across the board, I think, you know, Kurt Busch and Harvick, you got to say, have a better resume going into it than the other two. So, you know, yeah, I think he has the ability. I'm not taking away from Penske. I think Penske's done great with, you know, what they are. I mean, they're clearly the best Ford team now. You know, and, you know, I know we haven't got into fantasy yet, but you got to watch that Brad Keselowski today. I bet he's going to – I'm not picking him for my desk, but I really have a good feeling about him today for some reason.
Yeah, okay, interesting. Okay, yeah, and where's he running? He's coming out of the 8 spot. Okay.
Yep.
Has he won here before?
I think he has.
Once.
I don't know.
Logano
has. Yeah. Logano is actually the better guy at Kansas.
They both run well.
Logano's won twice. Keselowski's won once here at this track.
But Penske has a pretty good record because they've not been. Kansas hasn't been on the schedule all that long.
No, it hasn't.
I mean. It doesn't have, I mean, it might maybe 10 years at most. You know,
2003,
so
I believe. 2003.
Okay.
So
a little more than
13. 10. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's great cool. track.
Yeah, it looks like a nice track. I was watching a little bit of the Xfinity race yesterday, and, you know, the Penske's were up there. I mean, Logano was among the top. I don't know if Keselowski ran or not, but I know Logano was, he was in the top two or three. I know that. I know Kyle Busch won. I think he was like three was Logano, I believe.
Yeah, I'm going to have to drag Fred House
four.
Mike out there
four.
Sometime.
Kansas?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Midwest.
Yeah. Kyle Busch won
I
with
like
Elliot Sadler in second.
I like going Midwest.
You know, because when I went out, you know, the one race I went out there, you know, when we were up and running Frat House Sports Midwest, and that, you know, it's nice. You know, the track's nice. It's, you know, it's right off the interstate. You know, there's a lot of stuff in and around the track to do. So, you know, it's not like, you know, like Pocono, you got to go out, you know, out of your way, out the, you know, into the backwoods to kind of get to. Whereas, you know, Kansas is literally, you know, a mile off the interstate in Kansas City.
Yep. Wow.
So, you know, you dump off the interstate and you're like right there, you know, nice facilities.
And they actually refer to this track too, as what? This is a Carl Edwards. They refer to this one as Carl Edwards home track. So,
Yeah, he's from Missouri, though.
Yeah, but it's the closest.
It's the closest
Sprint Cup track.
Yeah.
To Carl.
To Carl. Yeah.
Yeah. I think Jamie McMurray too, because I think Jamie McMurray's from Missouri too.
All right. Well, let's take a look here because we got about 30 minutes remaining. Let's take a look here real quick at this at the leaderboard, Chase leaderboard, as we go into the second race of the second segment. So midpoint of the chase. Jimmy Johnson sits up at the top of the leaderboard with the win last week. That's what's got him up at the top. Matt Kenseth is coming in second. Kenseth coming off the pole today at Kansas. Kyle Busch third, Keselowski fourth, Kurt Busch five, Carl Edwards, Martin Truex, Denny Hamlin. There's your eight. And then below the line, 9, 10, 11, 12, Austin Dillon, Chase Elliott, Joey Logano, Kevin Harvick. Guys, there's nobody that's got more pressure on them than Kevin Harvick today, right? I mean,
yeah, I would agree.
Harvick's almost got to get a win, doesn't he?
What does Harvick do, though, traditionally when the pressure's on? He usually comes through. As a matter of fact, I don't want to tip my hand here, but I think Harvick's going to have a good day, real good day. Does he win? Maybe. Does he get top three? I would say so. Kevin Harvick is usually the one to count on.
He is right now 8 points out of eighth place. So he's 8 points out, behind the cut line. 41 points from the leader in this particular segment. He's got to finish. He's got to have a good race. And, I mean, if for some reason or another he DNFs, it's a disaster. It would be an absolute disaster at that point. Any thoughts, psychic, on Harvick or anybody else below the cut line?
I think you're going to see Harvick run well today. You know, tipping my hand a little bit. I'm kind of in jeopardy, so I'm primarily running Toyotas on my fantasy teams. Yeah. I'm worried about not advancing, so I'm kind of, yeah.
This isn't so much a Toyota track. If you look at the history, I mean, you get a broad spectrum of winners here. You get the Fords, you get the Chevys, you get the Toyotas. It's not a
I don't know that.
I think you'll see a couple of them. I think you'll see Kyle Busch and maybe Carl up front, but I don't know you're going to see all the.
Well, I mean, my whole roster isn't Toyotas. I'm not doing that, but. You know, I think if you look at, you know, where you know manufacturers are going to finish, I think you're going to stand to make more points off of Toyotas than you will of the others.
Yeah, you might.
You know, especially if you look at the qualifying order. You know, most of the Toyotas are all up front anyway. I do believe Penske will be in the mix.
Keep your eye on Chase Elliott too. I think Chase Elliott, after last week's run, I think he'll be up there too. He led a lot of that race early before he got into that accident. Johnson went on to the win. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Chase Elliott was really the guy for a while. He had the car.
Elliott led 103 laps last week. Second most laps led went to Chase Elliott. Elliott had 103. You know, that's why I look at the standings, and you know, you see Chase Elliott down there at the 10th spot. He's do I have that right? Yeah, he's in the 10th spot right now. 3 points out of number eight, so he's only 3 points behind the cut line. But I look at that and I think to myself, you know something? If there's going to be somebody that's going to replace replace somebody in the top eight? It seems to me. Well, of course, you got Logano down there at 11, too. So you got Logano, Harvick, Elliott. All three of them could replace somebody in the top. But I'll tell you something. I'm not real confident on Harvick. I don't know. But Chase Elliott, I think, you know, we've been saying it, though, for the past couple of weeks, haven't we? You talk about winners at Kansas. Kansas has won here three times. So you've got, of course, were they all Toyotas? He may have won one earlier when he was running for what team did he run for?
He was Roush.
Gibbs.
The Ford.
So he may have that may have been an earlier race, but Kenseth has won here three times, Johnson three times, Logano twice, Tony Stewart twice. There's your multiple winners, anyhow. Lineup coming out of today, we pointed out, look at the Toyotas up at the top. Now, you know, you might say, well, Toyotas, this isn't a Toyota track necessarily. You got a heck of a lot of four of them. Four of them. Kenseth, Kyle Busch, Carl Edwards, Martin Truex. 1, 2, 3, 4. Alex Bowman. Here we go again. Bowman's been qualifying really well the past couple of weeks. Alex Bowman there at number 5. Joey Logano. Denny Hamlin. There's a Toyota again. Brad Keselowski. So you got the pesky boys at 6 and 8. Ryan Newman. A.J. Allmendinger coming in at 10. Kevin Harvick, 11. Austin Dillon, 12. Chase Elliott, 13. Kurt Busch is coming in at 15. Jimmy Johnson all the way down, qualifying out of 21. I'm a Toyota guy, so I'm liking what I see. Anybody else?
No, you're right. You're right. I think the Toyotas are going to be well. I think it's going to be a good race. I think you're going to see a mix, though. I don't think you're going to see just one brand up front. Last week, we saw lots of Chevy for a change and less of the Toyota. So we'll see.
Yeah, I think you got to watch, like you said, I think you got to watch that Chase Elliott. I mean, yeah, looking at the practices, first practice, he ran 5th. And then the second practice and final practice, he ran 4th. So I got a feeling he's going to be making some noise today.
I'm not putting
him on my roster, but, you know.
That kid's got to get a win, seriously. I mean, the way we've been talking about him here for the past couple of weeks, it just feels like he's going to get himself a win. I don't know.
Well, wouldn't that be the story if he pulls off a win in the chase?
In the chase, I think it'd be outstanding
for his first win. You know what I mean?
Tremendous.
I mean, you know, everyone's going to forget about Jeff Gordon. you know what I mean? Like, you know, the 24 will be Chase Elliott.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely.
Of course, you know. What would the chatter be if this kid pulls off the championship in his rookie season? I mean, you know, because let's get it straight. The potential's there. You know, it's not that far off of a, because basically he's got He runs well. He's run towards the front of the pack. He's kind of been avoiding some stuff lately. Beginning of the season he had a couple issues in that. And he seems to have gotten past that. So if he can make it to the if he can make it to the homestead in the top four, we really could be saying, rookie champion Chase Elliott.
It is not far-fetched at all. Not at all. It would be. I think it would be a great story, personally. I'd love it, but.
I mean, I don't know where's he sitting right now. I don't have it up. I don't know what he what
ten.
Where he's sitting.
He's
sitting. Okay, so he's below the cut right now.
But only by 3 points. He's only three
okay.
points below the cut line. In fact, he and Austin Dillon are tied technically for ninth because they're both there at 36 points under.
Okay.
But he's only 3 points out of the cut. 36 points right now behind the leader, Jimmy Johnson. So.
And yeah, with the exception of Jimmy Johnson, any of those other top eight has a bad day like we saw last week. It's Charlotte, you know, boom. Yeah,
yep.
you can see a big mix-up.
You will, too. You will see a Chase guy have problems today. It's just the way it goes. Somebody
yep.
will have issues. Maybe somebody who's already had issues or maybe somebody different. So, you know, you always got to keep your eye. That's kind of the way it's gone. You always get one, maybe two. Very rarely do you see all the Chase guys have good days. It just doesn't work out that way. You know, it's just that's the way it goes. You know what I mean?
The
so,
odds are it would be a Toyota.
Yeah. Well, the Toyota's passed five through, so.
Exactly.
You know, you're in the right.
That's right.
Great area there.
The odds, those are the odds. So, before we get jumping into talking about fantasy and picks of the week, couple of 2017 things I wanted to bring up, get some comment on. Announcement came out that very interesting, guys. Martinsville Speedway adding LED lighting, and we'll have it. Apparently available for next season. Martinsville Speedway, marking its 70th anniversary next season, will install an LED lighting system, part of a $5 million capital investment project. Now, apparently, there are no night races on the schedule at Martinsville for next year. The NASCAR schedule is already out. But I guess you could anticipate that there will be night races at some point in the future at Martinsville. One of the things that the Martinsville folks did indicate is that while there are no, races scheduled there for the evening, it does give them more flexibility when it comes to weather delays. So interesting move. What do you make of it?
I think it's a good thing. I think they're doing it to try to stay relevant, you know, to give them, you know, to keep their races on the schedule, to be honest with you. That's the way I see this. That's a good move on their part. I mean, you know, you're not going to have the, you know, if you do have a weather issue, you're not going to have the, we're out of daylight excuse. They'll be able to run it at night if they need to. So, and maybe they'll change one to a night race down the road. That could be, you know, what the thinking is. So, yeah, it's good. I mean, the tracks that do this kind of stuff are the tracks that are going to stay on. The ones that just stay stagnant like they are and don't improve, they're the ones that are probably going to fall by the wayside, essentially. You got to keep your facility, you know, state-of-the-art in today's NASCAR world. So not having lights is a pretty big one.
Yeah, so do I. I really love it. It did seem to me too this year. Now I might be wrong. I'd have to go and actually count them up. But it did feel like, guys, that there were a lot more delays, weather delays. And I'm not just talking about like it seems like we've had a lot of them recently, obviously. But it feels that way throughout the entire season, that there have been more weather delays this year than I remember in more recent years. It just feels that way to me. To have this kind of flexibility where, you know, we're not talking about potentially pushing a race to the next day or even the day after that, I think is just, you know, it's better for the fans too. It's just better for the fans all the way around. I mean, does it feel that way to you guys that there have been more delays this year?
It's kind of average.
Okay, that's me.
Well, not just
you. It's kind of hard because, sometimes they get grouped together and you're like,
I'll go and check it out and count it up and then see whether my gut feeling is correct or not. One other little tidbit here that Brandon, you sent over earlier in the week. Where's my sound drop? There it is.
Hello, Newman.
RCR extends relationship with Ryan Newman, multi-year contract agreement to stay with Richard Childress Racing. They go on to say, quote unquote, "Ryan's consistency on the track has been a benefit to our organization, and this extension solidifies the future of our racing program. Ryan proved the first year he was here that he could contend for championships. And with this continuation, I believe we can fulfill our commitment to winning races and a championship. Ryan has worked hard to represent many of our partners, especially the primary sponsor Caterpillar, Grainger, and WIX Filters, helping them to get the most out of their respective racing programs." Little bit surprised for you, Brandon.
Well, you know what that says? That tells you Caterpillar, Wix Filters, and Grainger don't like Ty Dillon and said, "You either re-sign Ryan or we're gone." And that's the long and short of it, because Childress wanted to put Ty Dillon in that car. And everybody was saying it was going to be a no-brainer. Now, I'm not saying he couldn't end up being in a fourth car. You know, like they'll bring the 33 back to full-time Childress car, possibly. I don't know. But, you know, the Menard sponsorship ain't going anywhere until Daddy's tired of paying for it. So,
right.
And that car, Paul Menard's one of those weird guys. He's not going to be a superstar, but he's pretty solid and consistent. You know, he's there. He's always, he's always around mid-pack into points. You know, it's not out of the realm of possibility him making a chase one year. You know, he's won some big races. I mean, he won the Brickyard one year. So it's not like, it's not, you know what I mean? So he is what he is, but he's not bad. You know what I mean? And
yeah, but you know what that team smacks of? Mediocrity.
Well, yeah.
Yep. And
you
can listen to it in their comments.
Can I tell you what I think it all is? It's all since Harvick left. They need a big-time frontline driver to help. See, here's the deal. Here's how these teams work. You get the guy like the Kyle Busch or the Jimmy Johnson or the Kevin Harvick, who's your main guy. They all build, then the other engineers build their setups around the main guy. Ryan Newman is not a main guy. I'm sorry. He just isn't consistently good enough that they could base their entire team setups off of his setup. And I think that's what Childress is lacking. Can Austin Dillon become that guy? I don't know, maybe. He's showing signs. He's young, you know. Could he evolve into it? Maybe. But, you know, they needed to get, or they still need to get, you know, a frontline guy to replace, you know, Kevin Harvick. And until that organization does, they're all going to smack a mediocrity. They're going to show signs, you know, at some tracks they're going to run well, you know, and that's just the way it's going to be. But, you know, they're never going to be a force again until they get, you know, that lead guy, you know. And who's out there that could be the lead guy? I don't know. Maybe a Denny Hamlin, maybe a Kurt Busch when he's free from Haas. I don't think he's leaving though. I think he likes it there. And, you know, he has a history with Ford already. He has a championship,
yep,
driving a Ford. So, you know, you got to think Kurt Busch is loving this,
mm-hmm,
you know? So I don't know where they go. You know, they need to do something. They're doing it right by trying to cultivate it. I think they should have had a bigger bridge. In other words, if they could have kept Harvick for one more contract, say another, 3 to 5 years from when he left, I think they could have bridged from say a Kevin Harvick to, you know, Austin Dillon, if he's going to be the guy. But I think that's where they're hurting right now. And to have your biggest gun be Ryan Newman seriously? You know, he's sorry. He has his moments, but he's not. You know,
hello,
I don't.
Newman.
I do not see him as a leader of the pack. You got to have somebody, you know, setting pace all the time. You know, let's face it. When they're out in practice, who do they look at? Oh, they look at Kyle Busch. They look at Kevin Harvick. They look at Jimmy Johnson. You know, you need a guy in that realm. You know what I mean? And you know, that's
good
all.
Good point. Good point.
I think that's what the whole Childress team is missing. So, anyway,
summed up right there. So, just out of curiosity, though, Brandon, interestingly, you're saying sponsors didn't want Ty Dillon.
Probably that because that's that's everything we've heard was that whole contract was that whole. You know, Ryan Newman and everything else was all tied to, you know,
obviously
if Austin went in the car.
Obviously, I can't get in the sponsors' heads, nor can you. But can you try? I mean, what would be the harm? Why not try something new? I mean, what's the sponsor looking at this and saying? What are they trying to protect? In other words.
They would rather have the consistency that they get from Newman, which is not horrible. I mean, he's not a horrible driver. He's just not going to be a dominating driver. Where, you know, Austin Dillon's just, you know, starting to, you know, pick up a little bit, and Ty's even younger, and Ty has not been overly impressive in the Xfinity series. And I think that's where the sponsors are like, hey, maybe this kid needs, you know, a little more seasoning before, you know, he comes up to cut. You know, I'm not saying that he doesn't have a chance of being there eventually, because I absolutely think he does. You know what I mean? It's just I don't know if he's quite ready at this moment in time. And I think that's what the sponsors are saying, too. So I think the sponsors were. And it may not have been all of them, but I think they definitely have a say as to who the driver is. And I can think I would imagine probably the biggest driving force was Caterpillar, because Caterpillar is the only one I've ever seen like promotional materials, you know, and cutouts of Ryan Newman. I've never seen, you know, Granger or Wix filters. You know, maybe I just haven't gone to the right place, but I got to think that Caterpillar is their biggest sponsor. It's been the main sponsor on the car since Jeff Burton drove it. So, you know, it's been there for quite a while on the 31. So I got to think they were probably the driving force as to who, you know, as far as a say in who is driving it next year.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So,
interesting stuff, though.
Anybody who doesn't think sponsors control who drives a car anymore, you're sorely mistaken. Because even when there's quote unquote fill-in drivers for, you know, injuries, sponsors are in the loop. Don't get that wrong. They pay the bills, and sponsors, for whatever reason, you know, these owners now are afraid. You know, hey, you know, we don't want to mess your image up by having the wrong guy fill in your car. So, you know, it's all sponsor anymore.
Well,
everything in motorsports has just become a sponsor. Thing from
come right back to work. We kind of started the conversation here today, talking about corporate mentality.
Definitely a driving factor, because I don't think anybody expected. Everybody was pretty much expecting the deal with Ryan Newman to be over and Childress, you know, because the talk was all going to be around, you know, what's his name, Ty Dillon driving it going forward. So.
The good news here is this. Our sound drop is safe for at least the next couple of seasons. So there you go.
Yeah.
there's always a silver lining that we can look for, you know? I mean, that's what it comes down to, right? There we go.
Hello, Newman.
All right, let's get around here and take a look at fantasy. Let's take a look at where we stand with our winner's picks for the week. Fantasy, we are in segment two now, and we've got 12 teams in our fantasy chase. Sidekick, your fantasy team is in spot right now, spot number 9. Number 1 up at the top, Texas Ham. Greg down in Texas sits up at the top. I'll tell you something, that Sammy dude, he just keeps hanging around, doesn't he? And I just can't. Big Spoon, Sammy, keeps hanging around in our chase here. Brandon, you're sitting at number 7. I'm at number 8, so we're pretty close to the cut line here. So I got to tell you, I know that I'm stacking the deck today as well. But anyhow, Sidekick, give it to us right now. What are your fantasy picks here? And then we'll get to our winner's picks.
I'm going Truex Jr., Kevin Harvick, Regan Smith, Kyle Busch, Casey Mears. Going with Kyle Busch for the win and Toyota.
There you go. And I think I'm similarly stacked with Toyotas as well today. Want to ensure the fact that I do not drop below the cut line there. Over in our Eat My Dust winner selections, we only have 6 races remaining. As I've been saying for the past couple of weeks, it really is coming down to being a contest for between number 1 and number 2, and then 3, 4, and 5 makes up the second contest. 2 will come in third. NASCAR John up at the top, 946. Sidekick, you're at 904 after a tough one last week by picking Kevin Harvick. Brandon jumps in at number 3 with 794. I'm at 789 and in fourth place. And loyal listener Liz at 775. NASCAR John today is going with Martin Truex Jr. Sidekick.
Oh, who am I going with?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I was waiting for the who are you going with. Jeez. I think I'll go with Kyle Busch.
All right. You got it, Kyle Busch. Brandon?
I am going to go with Kevin Harvick to rebound. Time for the closer to step up and close.
All right, so we got Harvick. I'm going with Matt Kenseth, and loyal listener Liz is going with Martin Truex Jr. as well. All right, there you go. That's our program for today. Big race coming up. 2:15 Eastern time, apparently, will be the time that you can catch it, green flag. Couple of reminders for you about programming this week. Tuesday night, want to make sure you're here with Brandon and I at 7 p.m. Eastern time, please, for our All X's and O's NFL program. Frat House Sports is Red Zone Blitz coming to you at 7 p.m. Eastern time. We'll be breaking down everything that goes on today on the gridiron around the country. Good, good matchups today in the NFL.
There's football on today? Football?
There is.
Yeah.
There is. There's a lot of football on today. There's good football on today. We'll have all the screens going. There's baseball on today, too, later on this evening. Yourself. Thursday night, be here with us for our flagship program, the Frat House Sports Show, 7 p.m. Eastern time. And then next Saturday afternoon, I will be back with you at 2 p.m. in the afternoon for another relaxed Frat House Saturday as usual. There you go, folks. In the meantime, have a good one. Get out there. Enjoy your sports. And, for gosh sakes, get out there and enjoy your racing as well.